players or just create confusion and consternation. Bogish, here's a little of what we're talking about. So this was Jerry Jones in Oxnard, California, training camp, and he said he has no urgency to sign CeeDee Lamb, who is nowhere to be found. He's a holdout. The contract has been one of the biggest storylines of this offseason, but Jerry not feeling the urgency to get this deal done.
Are you saying there's a sense of urgency as you begin the preseason to get CeeDee done?
No.
No? Why do you say that?
I'm just... I went to high school, or I went to college. I don't know why I said it, but I'm just saying I don't know. I don't have a sense of urgency about getting it done.
Because it's a long-standing tradition.
Pick any reason you want. I said no boo 2 days ago. Give that as a reason.
Ha ha. Ha. Huh. Imagine this is the guy who's gatekeeping you from like generational money that you feel like you're entitled to. It's bizarre. So anyway, this clip made it onto social media, Bogish. Of course it did. And CeeDee Lamb himself retweeted it with just LOL.
Within minutes, too. Like, I think it was like 10 minutes. So
well, he's got nothing else to do. He's not at training camp.
It's just, again, that's how the NFC East was lost. Is that answer? Like, that's why the Eagles, or, well, maybe not, definitely not the Giants, maybe the Commanders win the NFC East. Like,
it's right there for them with this clown show.
This is a non-serious organization. I don't remember this. Apparently, Jerry was just as dismissive in the past with other guys, like Zach Martin last year. Like, I don't, whatever, it'll get done when it gets done, and then it gets done. So, I mean, it's in the cards that CeeDee Lamb has a deal by the time you and Perloff sit in these chairs on Monday morning. But, like, I just...
Doubt it.
Right. Not the most likely scenario. But this is, again, my point from the other day, is they are never going to win anything of significance again while he is in charge, because it's always something.
I think it's time to just really turn this thing over to Steven. I mean, I don't know if people think that the Cowboys are going to lose this sort of cachet if Jerry's not out here talking and creating headlines, but then Steven Jones has to come in to the back end and kind of clean up the mess and be like, no, we still really want to sign CeeDee Lamb, and they're trying to say all the right things.
Yeah.
And to me, I think Jerry is just making it worse. Now, what's interesting about this is what actually happens. You mentioned CeeDee Lamb could have a contract by the time Perloff is back here on Monday. However, we had Phil Sims on earlier this week. And
this is Phil Sims.
Phil did a great job on the preseason game last night, by the way. He's a great addition to any booth. Let me just endorse Sims there. But his belief was that the Cowboys were actually going to punt on all of these big money decisions till the offseason.
Hey, look, next year, when the offseason starts, that's when it'll really heat up. They're not going to do anything before. And, you know, I think the Cowboys are in a tough spot. I do, with Jerry Jones. I think with Dak, of course, and CeeDee Lamb, and then Micah Parsons is definitely going to come up next year. So what are they going to do? And it's going to be interesting.
This is Phil Sims.
Again, like, but if Phil's right, and it's looking a little bit more like he's right, that none of these contracts are going to go down this year, You're a Cowboy fan, you're pulling your hair out. Because what else is going to happen between now and then? Jamar Chase could get done.
Yeah.
This could get even more expensive. And while that shouldn't be a Cowboys fan's lament, let the front office take care of the contracts, you're just going to go through this whole thing again, and the money's going to be higher, not lower, when you sign CeeDee Lamb next season.
So what is the actual motivation, though, of letting this play out to this extent through an entire season? Is the motivation to leave themselves open to some kind of reset next year because, again, this didn't go well? And the NFL is a different beast for all the different contractual and salary cap reasons and whatnot, and you would never want to lose Dak Prescott for all of whatever you think his limitations are. For him just, like, to leave
right
for nothing is not good for the organization. But there is logic in getting to next offseason. Maybe you don't win the division again, more playoff failure, where you go, this collection isn't working anymore. So let's do something different. We're going to fire Mike McCarthy. I'm not going to pay Dak Prescott
right.
$70 million. Like, I can see...
Not going to pay CeeDee Lamb.
Right. I can see the logic in, like, just going this attempt, this core has run its course. Like, we're not going to go any further. Let's do something different. But to do something different requires you to be terrible this year so you can pick a quarterback in next year's draft, which is not going to happen when you keep Dak Prescott and you have CeeDee Lamb, right, you have Micah Parsons. They're not going to be bad enough to let you do a true reset. So they're going to be screwed in a different way by trying to rebuild on the fly.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to get a blue chip, you know, guy. Generally, it's harder, you think, if you're picking in the late 20s or right. something like that. So it's a fair logic. A couple things there. I don't love the idea that you draft guys like CeeDee Lamb, you develop them, they become great, he's your number one offensive weapon, and then you're like, eh, a little too rich for our blood. Like, to me, that doesn't make sense. You know, you draft a guy, you develop a guy, these are the people you want to be part of the core. You know, this is different to me than Brandon Ayuk with the 49ers. Brandon Ayuk is like the third or fourth option sometimes on the offense. He plays a really big role, and I think one that's underrated and fans are underrating now, but they have all these other weapons. The starting running back for the Cowboys right now could be Ezekiel Elliott. Guys, right. This is like not ideal. So I think when you have a true number one like that, which CeeDee Lamb has proven that he is, that's not who I mess around with. Now, as far as the quarterback is concerned, I've been trying to like get a little bit more of a handle on what's going on with that situation. Because I'm with you. This makes no sense. Who's your plan B if you're not going to Dak Prescott?
Right.
These quarterbacks don't grow on trees. And what are you going to replace Dak with, like a Kirk Cousins down the line or right. an injured Matthew Stafford, or who just got an extension, by the way, with the Rams. So that might be off the table. Or Perloff's choice of Aaron Rodgers. I mean, these things are all, a lot of things have to break right for you to get one of those guys. So here's Trey Lance, who's been sitting at third string, who's been kind of biding his time. And Trey Lance, can we hear cut 12, please, Pete? This was Trey Lance on the Doomsday podcast saying he still has all the confidence in the world and watching Dak Prescott has helped him.
Plenty of it, yeah. I think that's one thing that I've learned and Dak's been great about as well, you know, with everything, you know, you guys do and all the media and everything like that. It's been great for me to be around Dak and see how he handles it as well. And I think the minute you start to lose confidence in yourself, I think that's when, you know, things start to spiral. So I know it comes from, for me, perspective and knowing who I am on and off the field. And I think that's kind of where I get it from.
Okay, so Trey Lance has been behind the scenes, soaking all this up, watching how the Cowboys do business, watching how Dak Prescott handles himself. And by the way, we like to clown Mike McCarthy about a lot of things, and sometimes he can kind of come off a little like aloof or whatever, a little too folksy, I think, sure. for some people. The dude can develop a quarterback. He has done that over and over again, going back to, I mean, the Green Bay days, where however it ended, he has helped quarterbacks. So the idea that nothing is happening with Trey Lance behind the scenes, I think would be ridiculous. Is it possible that what the Cowboys are doing is actually a little bit of the Green Bay model? They have a guy who's a first round pick who's sitting behind the veteran, learning, growing, soaking all this up, and then they deploy Trey Lance next year. I think that that's what they're hoping, and it's been off the radar.
Yeah, and I, you know, we mentioned this kind of as a joke the other day, but because it's the Cowboys, like, there's also this weird Deion Shador double rumor floating around, you know, as well. But the, you know, Trey Lance is there. This is going to be year two learning and a full year, and there's still talent in Trey Lance. And who knows, you know, you're one, you might have already done this in your you know, multiple universe.
Yes,
I can't comprehend the multiverse. Like, if Trey Lance's ankle doesn't snap, like,
yeah, we've done
like,
that one.
Where are we? Like, where are we now? So, and it wouldn't be past Jerry to fall in love with somebody at practice and think like he's the next cheaper option, because there also is logic in not paying Dak Prescott $70 million a year.
Well, totally. You know, and let's stay on Lance for a second, and let's stay on who is the Cowboys' biggest rival right now, the 49ers. And seeing the 49ers obviously saw something in Trey Lance where they mortgaged so many future assets to get him. And do you think Jerry's not watching what the 49ers do and saying, if it's good enough for them, should it be good enough for us? And
right.
we actually have the time and the space to develop this dude. The Shador Deion thing kind of throws wrench into this whole thing. What is that? Like, what are we supposed to do with that? It's a fun pipe dream?
Yeah, I mean, it's for blanks and giggles because it's the Cowboys. So it's, again, almost anything is possible with Jerry. And Deion has a Cowboy connection. I think Jerry has spoken highly of him as a head coach in this small part of Deion's life. And we know, I don't mean to question Deion's loyalty, but I don't think he's at Colorado for the rest of his life. So we all assume he's going to do something else, whether it's go up a ladder in college football if the Buffs go well or be lured to the NFL. We know Shador is going to be a pro at some point soon.
Right. Is that Gator's job going to open?
Right. So it's all this crazy loose end that could come together in a strange way in Dallas. It is less than 1% of the possibilities here. Them just transitioning to Trey Lance is a far more conceivable thing. But not having deals done with Dak and CeeDee Lamb, while every day could potentially cost you more money.
Yeah.
They're letting our minds run wild because they won't tie up these two loose ends.
Yeah, it's a fair point. So this is like actually where a place where the preseason is going to matter. There's like two things, I think, where the preseason is actually going to matter. We talked a little bit about it yesterday about the Pittsburgh Steelers and the fact that Justin Fields is going to get an opportunity with Russ still working on that calf. And then I think Trey Lance is going to get a major shot here in the preseason because Dak doesn't need to do preseason.
No.
Cooper Rush doesn't need to do preseason.
Oh,
it's really about Trey Lance. And so they're 4:30 Eastern time on Sunday, Cowboys Rams in LA. And I think there's a lot riding on this for him.
Whether it's there or somewhere else, right? I mean, if he plays well and Dallas figures things out with Dak, then Trey Lance could become a trade chip.
Another one?
A team that needs
a
quarterback.
Village Bicycle.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if, you know, someone's going to need a quarterback who might not end up in a place to draft them. So, what about Trey Lance? There's no tread on those tires. He's still young and athletic. I'll think that Mike McCarthy worked out some of the kinks that apparently were an issue in San Francisco. I'll take a flyer on that.
855-212-4227. Would love to hear from the Cowboys fans on this one. Jerry talking nonsense now. No urgency to get the deal done with CeeDee Lamb. So meanwhile, he's held out to the tune of $1 million already. And I know they can forgive the fines because he's still on a rookie deal. But clock's ticking here. We got preseason game number one. I know Cowboys fans did this with Emmitt Smith. But man, the vibes were quite different before Emmitt's holdout and during Emmitt's holdout that lasted two games into the season than they are now. This feels like, you know, you don't have the benefit of the doubt of already having two Lombardi trophies in the case.
And I don't mind missing reps in the offense for CeeDee Lamb. It just still feels like, and maybe by now the numbers don't bear this out, but it just feels like when skill position players hold out, some leg muscle gives out within 10 days of them coming back. Like the longer you hold out, the more likely a quad or a calf or a groin goes. Like, that's the stuff I think that you miss when you're not around, is just being athletic with a chance to build up towards week one. When you're thrown right back in the fire after a holdout, it just feels like the chances of you hurting a leg goes through the roof.
855-212-4227. Oh, man. All right, Cowboy fans, how you feeling now with this latest twist and turn? Jerry's just cackling like a... It's like, again, everyone's laughing. What are you laughing about? This is literally costing you money every day.
And they're not laughing at him. They're laughing with him, awkwardly. What do we do? What do we say?
Do you remember the scene in Austin Powers when they have all the evil people around? So it's like Dr. Evil.
I don't have a sense of urgency about getting it done.
You're so crazy, old man.
And just the laughter grows and grows, and then finally the camera stays on them in Austin Powers, and they're
I said no boo 2 days ago. Give that as a reason.
You know, and I feel it's a long-standing tradition. Would you be surprised if Jerry asked about putting lasers on sharks at one point?
Yeah.
All in.
And then he misuses air quotes? Like, you'd think... Those are Jerry moves.
Sharks with laser beams on their head.
Spanking himself.
Spanking lasers.
855-212-4227. I could also see Jerry putting a pinky finger up to his, the corner of his mouth going, we'll sign CeeDee Lamb for $1 million.
When you're general manager, of which I am.
Hey, gonna, Dad, it's not 1974 yeah, anymore.
Going to take a little bit more than $1 million. 855-212-4227. Okay. Can I get personal coming up next? I got to let you guys in on something that's going on in my private life because...
Here it comes.
I got some news yesterday about something going on in my personal life. And if you could have given me 1,000 guesses, I would have never landed on this. Ever. And I'm wondering if anyone out there has had anything similar happen to them. I could get impregnated by a Raising Cane's lunch order. Well, that was it. 855-212-4227.
I've already guessed
brilliant,
it.
Brilliant, Pete. No, something else. Raising Cane's doesn't open for another 2 hours.
Oh, come on.
Okay, we'll get to what is going on in my personal life because I might need some help with this one. It sounds a little wacky. Get to that next. Welcome back. Before we get to my very personal story that I'm going to share, because something's going on in my personal life, and I couldn't have seen this coming yesterday, and I'm curious if it's ever happened to anyone else. But first, we go to Brian, who's in Arkansas, wants to weigh in on Jerry Jones now saying there is no urgency to sign CeeDee Lamb. Brian, is your head spinning as a Cowboy fan?
It's been spinning on all off season, so yeah, no, that's... hasn't really changed. This is Jerry Jones, guys. I mean, remember about, I'd say, 5-10 years ago, we were doing good and then we lost. And one of the reporters asked him in front of the locker room what he thought about the loss. He said, well, we're still selling out and we're still got people talking, so we're doing okay. And that's his mindset. As long as everybody keeps talking about us and mentioning the Cowboys, I think he's okay with this because – honestly, I'm ready for Trey Lance. Nothing against Dak. I think he's a great guy, but I think in the current system, I think he would do a lot better elsewhere. But we're going to hold on to him and not pay. CD, Jerry has in his head that you're a Cowboys player, so you should be grateful to be a Cowboys player.
Yep.
And he doesn't understand that that mindset is no longer what's going on. These are Gen Z kids, and they're all like, hey, we're here to do our job, and we want to get paid. Yeah, if I got to swap jobs, I'm going to swap jobs. And so Jerry's kind of not catching up. Now, is he senile? Possibly. But truthfully, Jerry is about being in the news.
Yep.
And he is in the news with this. If he makes a decision, then he gets out of the limelight. And I think that's what he wants to stay at. I'd rather trade CD and trade Micah and start over because, you know what, this group, like y'all are saying, this group, has run its course, and we obviously can't win with a healthy and younger Zeke. And I know for sure now with Zeke being like he is, and again, nothing against Zeke. I love him to death. But Zeke is not an RB1.
No.
Okay, maybe a number two, okay, on third downs. But what do we have behind him? We have no names who are definitely not the type of speedster we need. He didn't do anything in the offseason to upgrade the team to do better than get our butts handed to us in Green Bay. I don't place all the blame on Mike because everybody's like, well, it's Mike. I think Mike's a good coach. I think the problem is we just don't give Mike the right tools to work with.
Yeah. So, you know, Brian, it's been an excellent call. I'm with you on like 99% of everything you said, except for I don't think they should trade CeeDee and Micah. I think those guys are core pieces. But I'm with you on everything else. It's a solid call. Thank you for making it. And you and I are 100%, Brian, that is, 100% in lockstep about whether or not Jerry actually wants to win. And Perloff and I argue about this on the show, off the show. We like text thread, on the phone. We argue about this all the time about whether Jerry wants to win. Perloff will say it's the only thing he wants. Jerry only wants to win. And I think he doesn't. I think he's got everything he wants. We hang on his every word, even though it makes no sense. He's selling out. They were bragging about the season ticket renewals even after they got their butts handed to him by the Packers. Jerry's in the Hall of Fame. You know, he's buried the hatchet with Jimmy Johnson. Like, there's, you know, I you know, Perloff thinks, oh, he walks into these owners' rooms and you think he wants to see Clark Hunt or whatever, you know, rubbing his nose in it, the Chiefs owner, that he hasn't won. I think Jerry's still the most powerful owner. I think he walks around like he's presiding over the Chiefs when he's not, because I think in his mind, he runs the league, and he might.
Can you both be right on this? Because, I mean, he does, he loves being Jerry Jones. He loves being the owner of the Cowboys.
Sure.
And he loves all the things that come with that, including training camp in Oxnard and all those microphones in his face 2 days after being at Nobu.
Right.
But I do think he wants to win. I think the bigger problem is he doesn't know how to win. He does not know that the antics are preventing them from winning.
Well, he'll say 12-win season after 12-win season, and we've built a good team here. And I think he's right. They have built a good team, but they are obviously missing that extra thing. Whatever that is, when the postseason happens, you've just seen so much more bad than good. And games that they got blown out, games that have been winnable games that have come down to late game execution, they've lost in every which way you can lose.
Yeah.
And
right. They never just lose. It's always in an embarrassing way or notable way. And because I'm like super cool and hip and up on the times, Maggie, as you know so well, I'm only now finishing The Crown on Netflix.
Yeah.
And it's not to be a spoiler, but the series ends with Queen Elizabeth debating whether she needs to step aside and let Charles become king. And it's like 2005, 2006.
Wow. What did she decide?
So, spoiler, she didn't. She stayed.
Stayed in power for another 20 years. Not power, whatever, figurehead.
So, but aside from the accents and like the prim and proper nature of it, like this does, like this is the cowboy dynamic, because Jerry is the king.
Yeah.
And Steven's sitting there not letting him draft Johnny Manziel. And, you know, yesterday he's walking back the CD Lamb comments, like, we want to get this done. We need him here. We understand why he's not here. He's probably begging his dad to go, hey, just let me run the whole dang thing.
Yeah.
Like, let me actually, you can do whatever you want, shake hands, kiss babies, but like, let me just be actually in charge. And his dad is not going to give up until, while he physically can, he's going to be in charge of that whole thing and prevent them from being as good as they should be.
And you should see Queen Elizabeth when she gets into the Johnny Walker blue. Whoa. Really lets her
doctor
hair down.
Yeah. They got to kick her out of Nobu. She can stop eating the sushi.
They never told you that in all those those documentaries. Queen Elizabeth partying her face off. No, may she rest in peace. Can I also tell you guys a little bit about what's going on in my personal life, because I'm curious if anyone has ever encountered this before. I've never seen anything like this. It feels like something that was like a little bit out of a movie, and I found out this news yesterday. So go home after the show, and my husband is there, and he was working from home, and he's like, I just got a call from our realtor. Now, not to get too in the weeds here, but during COVID, when a lot of people had to change up their situation, we had to do the same, where we have an apartment in New York City, and then we moved to the suburbs of New Jersey, and that's where we live now. So we've had this apartment with renters in it who have been lovely. They've been phenomenal, and they're excellent. They take care of our place. They pay on time. They're the best renters you could possibly have. But now, Bogus, it's time for us to sell the apartment, right? So everyone's on the same page. We're trying to sell the apartment. Don't get me started on the interest rates and all that. I get it, but it's just time for us to sell. So we have a lovely broker who's been helping us. We thought we had somebody on the hook to buy the apartment, right? We had two people. They both wanted it. And we thought, all right, great. We get a little bidding war going.
Yeah, let's go.
Fantastic. We can unload the apartment. Maybe this happens before the end of the year. All of a sudden, because of circumstances, it looks like it's not going to happen. So she calls my husband yesterday and she's like, I have an idea. We've got to bring someone into the apartment to clear the energy.
Ooh.
I'm like, what? Yes, she wants to bring someone in who's a friend of hers, who's going to charge, and she said she'll pay for it, to come in and sort of, in a mystical kind of way, sort of cleanse the apartment to sort of start over reset the vibes to hopefully attract new bidders.
So the renters are gone?
No, they're there.
Okay, so,
and they're great.
But is she clearing their energy?
I don't know. I'm like, is this a Kyrie Irving like burning sage at the in Boston thing?
I say you're fired.
No, but I mean, she's a great. Ridiculous. She's been a good realtor, and she's paying for it. So what do we care?
Yeah, but
you're going to come in and rub some crystals on the wall, or I don't know what she's going to
do. That's not going to do anything.
I mean, she's going to like sacrifice a lamb in there. Are we going Old Testament on this thing? I have no idea.
Oh, just pull one out. They did in Major League. Pull what they did in Major League. Bring in a bucket of chicken instead of sacrificing a live chicken. Right,
the garden snake.
Yeah.
I make it the sign of the cross. I don't know what she's going to do, but my husband was like, sure. And I said, if this works and all of a sudden somebody does come in and we do get to offload the apartment and like this cleansing of the vibes like worked, and we should probably offer to reimburse her for the mystic, right?
A
shaman?
That's what it is.
Absolutely not.
She's trying to get more dollars out of this whole thing.
Well, he didn't offer that. We were just spitballing because like you could have given me 1,000 guesses. I thought she was going to say, let's just drop the price like, you know, 10 grand or 20 grand or whatever. This is, we're trying to, bringing in a shaman to cleanse the apartment of the bad juju because the deal fell through.
How long has it been on the market?
A couple months.
Pete, I know your history. Don't pretend that you're Ryan Serhan and you know how to handle real estate.
Listen, I don't either. I'm not pretending that I'm some real estate person, but yeah, it's a couple months in New York. That's a long time. Usually things kind of tend to go a little fast, but maybe not. It's a tough time here in the city.
It's a female woman?
Yeah.
So if she wants to pay for it, let her do it.
She's also Japanese. So I'm thinking maybe is this like an Eastern thing? Is this just her? Like
a little feng shui kind of situation, maybe?
I don't know about that. It's just like, it's a little woo-woo, which I don't know much about Japanese culture and customs. I don't know, but she wants to do it, so we're letting her do it.
If it's on her credit card, go for it. Right. Like, this is the same thing as like, oh, we're going to, you know, put in fake furniture or like rearrange things, like have a different like...
You think it's the same as that?
Well, does any of it actually matter? Like on all these shows, like, oh, we're gonna stage this room and do that. And then someone comes in and buys it no matter what. Like, so let her do it. It doesn't matter. Just no sweat off your back.
So the people who are living there now who are renting from us, my husband and I were trying to sell our apartment in New York because we're never going to move back to New York City. We live in New Jersey now. And our broker wants to bring in someone to clear the vibes. In a mystic, a shaman, I don't know what else you'd call it. Someone's going to come in to sort of sage the place or do whatever because a deal that we had just fell through and she thinks there's bad juju. The people who are in there now, like, are a couple with a baby, you know, or like a 3-year-old at this point. What are they going to do? Like, are they sacrificing a chicken there? I don't know what's going on.
I would go to another agent.
We've been with her for a while, though. We like her.
Well, that
very positive person.
Do you think she priced it wrong?
I think we're taking care of that because people did get interested. So
okay,
so
it's not that.
It's not that.
It's just getting people in the place.
Whenever you guys see this, have you ever seen this where a house goes on the market and then someone buys it and then it very quickly goes on the market again, like within a year or something?
I always assume
the house was haunted.
Or a flip.
Something you would have never known, right, without like major reconstruction. Something you would never know except if you live there and you're being woken up in the middle of the night because like some little girl ghost in a nightgown is like at the foot of your bed.
Hello, Margaret.
Mommy? But like that I understand you want to sage the place. Nothing bad has ever happened in our apartment.
That you know of.
Well, I mean, I think we know.
We weren't the original tenants.
No, but it was renovated right before we moved in.
Construction doesn't take care of bad mojo.
But I've lived there for 4 years, and I...
But again, you didn't build it. People lived there before you, right?
But if it was haunted, wouldn't they haunt me and my husband?
Sometimes it takes a little bit.
Ghosts weren't comfortable with us.
They figured out, like,
they didn't like the cut of our jib.
She's got no emotions.
I have one emotion, scared. I would be very scared.
They could have been a bunch of 1979 Mets living there, a bunch of loser energy. You never know.
Oh my gosh, I never thought of that.
It can happen.
When you say yes to this,
already said yes.
Okay, since you've said yes to it, can we send Kaplan to film whatever ceremony is about to happen?
Fair. I mean, it's a little far for him. He'd have to be on the train for a while, but sure.
All right.
If he's up for it.
If you're going to do this ridiculous thing, do it. And if it doesn't, you don't get any movement. You got to then move on to another agent.
I don't know. I kind of like the outside the box thinking. Yeah, EJ.
I don't know how you don't see what's happening, Maggie. What? Your agent is trying to deflect from their failure.
Exactly.
it's very clear. She's like, well, I couldn't get this deal. There's no chance it was my fault. Don't blame me. Please don't fire me. What has to be done
is the vibes.
The vibes have to be cleansed out. Meanwhile, there's people living in your apartment who are fine, decent people.
Yeah,
like,
they are.
If I was living in that apartment, I rent an apartment now in New York City, and they said I had to move and they had to sell it or whatever, and like some person came in and said, yeah, we're cleansing the apartment because of the vibes in here, I don't know what I would do. I mean, if it's a woman, I might have Andrea have to carry that smoke. I was a man, there may be a fight. What do you mean the vibes are off? I've done nothing wrong here. I've paid rent. Ooh. I've been a good tenant.
Think we're offending
them? Don't
blame
me for your failures. You can't sell the place. That's your fault.
Exactly.
I didn't even think about offending our renters.
You know what the problem is? You brought in the wrong person to cleanse the bad vibes. You got to bring in Kyrie Irving to do it.
Yeah, Kyrie's not going to knock 7 foot in my apartment. That'd be an upset.
So this person thinks they can bring in a bunch of mimes to come in there and
mimes
and do the box thing or whatever they want to do, and you're gonna sell the apartment. That's totally ridiculous. I think you're wasting time. I think just go and find another agent. Go get you'll get Ryan Serhan. He'll do it. He'll sell it in a day.
Slightly under his pay grade.
Yeah,
and he's doing 36,000 square feet. Can I offer you 1,000 square feet?
But he has a bunch of agents that could probably help you.
There's got to be a junior agent there that needs this first sale.
Yeah.
The only thing that EJ was right about is that you do run the risk of making your tenants feel like they're the ones creating the bad mojo.
Honestly, and they've been great. Although Big Bad John's on the chat said maybe the renters are sabotaging the deal. I don't think so. They're very cool.
Too bad they don't want to buy it.
They can't afford it.
Right.
It's like a stepbrothers kind of deal. They walk in with these guys. Right. Got the wrapped up like he just died from the asbestos. Just died last night.
I love our renters. I do not want to. They're good people. I don't want to offend them. I didn't think about that. Pat, take it away while I call my husband.
Sure. Yeah. Two NFL preseason games last night. If you're a degenerate, by the way, and you're into betting those, the unders on both games, easy.
You talking to yourself.
Yes.
Okay. You saw the rain. It was like, that was a slam dunk.
Yes, even though they both were in the low 30s. Giants beat the Lions 14-3. Most starters from both teams did not play. Giants rookie receiver, the number 6 pick, Malik Nabers, did. Only a few series. Couldn't even get Drew Lock to throw him the football. Patriots beat the Panthers 17-3. Drake May, just one series, threw the ball 3 times. And you mentioned last hour, Patriots fans booing Bailey Zappi when he came in. Joe Milton, 54 passing yards and a TD, 22 yards on the ground.
Nope.
What?
I think I can speak for Maggie Amperloff. It's not a TD. It's not a TD. It's a touchdown. Come on. Let's go.
That's a bogus thing. I have no problem with that.
Stop gatekeeping on my football terminology, bogus.
And a TD.
This is a pet peeve because bogus has a certain way of doing updates.
I had Carlos Ortiz, yelling at me for TD. Now I got you yelling at me for TD.
There are standards.
What's touchdown?
Four words.
TD? So if I said TD, you're okay with that. But if I say TD, you got a problem?
As long as you don't say TTs, then we're fine. Sorry.
Well, we played a clip last hour of Patriots' new head coach, Jerod Mayo, addressing sports talk radio rumors about six-round draft pick Joe Milton gunning for Drake May's job. Well, elsewhere, there doesn't seem to be any QB controversy in Cleveland, at least not yet, but... Man, add another nugget of gold into Jameis Winston's bag of quotes. He's now Deshaun Watson's backup for the Browns, and Jameis was asked about Deshaun Watson yesterday, all the pressure and criticism that continues to surround him. And Jameis, in defending the starting QB, had this to say.
A lot of people forget when you can go out, you can see practice, you can knick-knack this, that, paddywhack, give a dog a bone. Deshaun Watson is going to turn it on. He always going to find a way to shine when the lights come on.
I mean, what are we doing?
No, I love that. That's great.
Yeah, he knew he was spitting when he dropped that, because this was immediately after the greatest philosopher of our generation. He dropped another timeless bar.
Man, I just rhymed. Oh my, can I leave off that one? I know that one's going to hit.
So, yeah, they're having fun with Jameis in Cleveland. And, man,
it's the weirdest thing, because there's just so much with Jameis, you know? It's like everywhere he goes, people love him. He's got all this stuff in his past, though, that makes it kind of like, oh, how fun is this really? You know, he's just shown a lack of maturity in other parts of his life. But I think I get why they have him. Okay, think about the Browns. You couldn't have Joe Flacco still be there because they were worried it would mess with Deshaun Watson's mind, even though Watson has the most guaranteed money ever for a quarterback ever, and reset the sport, basically. But you can't have Flacco there because it's too much of a, you know, breathing down the neck of Watson, or you're worried that the fan base is going to be split or whatever.
Woof, woof.
You bring in Winston is like the ultimate hype man. He's got to be so positive for Watson.
Yeah, it's completely non-threatening backup quarterback.
Yeah. Well, not even non-threatening. Like, he's just totally okay with being the backup at this point.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, again, I was looking up a couple weeks ago as I was doing some football trivia with my nephews. You know, Jameis Winston's got one of the top 10 highest passing yards in a single season of all time.
Yeah, how many interceptions did he throw that year?
Yeah, probably, like, it was like 30. It was like 30 touchdowns, 30 interceptions with Tampa Bay. But still, like, I you know this. Every beat writer in Cleveland's going to be pushing Jameis propaganda if Deshaun Watson plays like he did last year.
Here we go, Brownies. Here we go. Woof, woof.
It's a lot of ifs.
This is your team, right, Pat? Sorry. But...
No, not anymore. I'm no longer a Browns fan.
Because of Watson?
Well, yes, and working here in New York, having to, you know, follow everything that goes on with the Giants and the Jets over the last several years. The reason I became a Browns fan was because of my fanboy, 12-year-old weird fanboyism of Brady Quinn. So when the Browns drafted him...
Everything comes back to Notre Dame.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Everything.
I'm sorry, Bogus. I interrupted you.
I was going to say, like, you can't negate everything that happened at Florida State, and then it's easy to say, like, I wish he was a better player in the NFL. But if he was a better player in the NFL with that personality...
Oh, my gosh.
He'd be a megastar.
Absolutely. And he's like a borderline starter anyway, you know? I think it shows you... Listen, he's good for the vibes and maybe good for the locker room, but it tells you everything you need to know about the confidence level that the team has in Deshaun Watson, which is slim to none. I mean, the only other, like, high-end backup they could have brought in would have been, like, what, Gardner Minshew or someone like that who can obviously, like, play? It tells you a lot. And I think if Watson is bad this year, they're looking for another quarterback after this season. Hold everything else till next hour. We'll get to that coming up. Man, we've got to get to one of the stories from yesterday that made no sense. We'll do that next. If you're Pedro Grifol today, I mean, do you thank the organization for finally just putting you out of your misery? This is the manager of the White Sox who have been on multiple losing streaks this year. Bogus, 21 losses in a row. I guess firing him after the 10th, 11th, 15th, 19th, 20th loss. No, they had to wait for the streak to be over. Then they lost another game. They finally won. Then they lost another game. They're like, we've had it. This was apparently the straw that broke the camel's back, is after 21 losses, then a win, then a loss, then Grifol's got to go.
Yeah, I think the calendar might have screwed him here. The off day is a good day to fire a manager, and they did not play a game yesterday.
Got it.
I'm just still bummed that we didn't get the possibility of them today at home setting the all-time losing streak record and then having post-game fireworks.
Against the Cubs.
Yeah, I needed that to happen. We lost that possibility on Tuesday.
I'm sorry for you.
And we brought this up. Like, there's two schools of thought in Chicago. Either one, make him finish this season and sit in this and eat it.
Yeah.
Or get rid of him to show that you kind of care about being 60 games under 500.
If I'm Grady Sizemore, who's now taking over, tough spot. I mean, is this an option where you can just say no thanks? Like, this happens sometimes in the NFL where they'll fire the coach and then they'll want an assistant and they'll say, I don't want this on my resume.
Yeah.
Like, it will ruin me for my next interview or for my permanent coaching record or whatever.
I don't know if Grady appreciates this, but he was one of my favorite players because, I mean, there was a window where he was as good as anybody in the game.
Yeah, definitely.
I put him in a lineup now.
Yeah.
He looks different. A little smaller.
Little.
I don't know. I didn't know he was in their organization at all until yesterday. But when I saw it, I was like, oh, Grady Sizemore, good player. Memory Lane was telling Jake about him. Like, so he's got a little uptick in notoriety again by people remembering that he exists. And now he's an interim manager in Chicago. God bless him.
Yeah, I mean, congrats. You're going to lose, another 20 games in a row?
Maybe not, Maggie. Maybe this was all Pedro Grifol's fault, and they're going to roll to 50 games under 500 by the end of the season.
This is not what I would have done as a general manager.
What would you have done? Not
well,
sure?
I would have hired, this is what I would have done. I would have hired Buck Showalter as a special assistant and then made him the manager for the rest of the year to clean up the clubhouse.
What about Don Mattingly? Maybe you could have done with Mattingly.
Then in the offseason, I would move Showalter back to special assistant in the front office.
Okay.
And we would hire a manager.
All right. Well, it's that's one.
It's shocking they haven't hired you.
I know it's one spot you need. But here's the thing:
doing now.
They brought Tony La Russa back. Who La Russa? I get it. He was like way over past the, you know, his better days were already behind him. But to bring in the veteran person to try to stay, you know, bring stability to the clubhouse, they did try that too, and it wasn't awesome. Better than this, 28-89. And gross. Now you decide to fire your manager. Like at this point, it's August 9th. Like just let him finish out the year. Are you really trying to get a good look at Grady Sizemore and see what he has to show? He's not going to show you anything. This roster is not good enough, and the guys are not motivated enough, and every single aspect of the organization, Bogus has clearly failed. I mean, I don't get it.
I'm surprised ownership didn't clean everything out.
They did.
They might.
Two other guys got fired yesterday. The assistant hitting coach.
Yeah, it's his fault.
And somebody else. not the head guy. The assistant guy got the can. Yeah.
I always wonder what the assistant hitting coach says. It's like, hey, eye on it.
Didn't fast forward the video enough.
What'd you say, Pete?
Didn't fast forward the video enough.
Man, what a dumpster fire that is. Would you have said yes if you were Grady Sizemore? Bogus?
Yeah. For 2 months of being reminding people I'm out there, yeah.
Do you think that he gets a bump in pay?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You know how sometimes they do this where it's like, we're giving you a promotion in name only. That happens in the corporate world.
Yeah, that's a big HR thing. You go from like director to this, whatever. But like, you get a little bit. He's not getting paid like an actual manager, but he'll get a little extra stipend for these 2 months.
Lucky him.
A little bump in his per diem.
Great.
Again, I'm still available.
Yeah.
First year free. Then you got to pay me.
First year free? Yeah. Why are you giving away the goods? You just gave him all that Buck Showalter stuff for free.
You got to sign me to a 3-year contract. First year is free. You pay me the next 2 years.
I mean,
you're gonna need Maggie's realtor to figure out how to pay for a place in Chicago. Salary, Pete.
You know, to be honest, my broker for our apartment wants to bring in like a shaman to clear the vibes in our apartment because a deal just fell through. I mean, bring the shaman to the clubhouse. This is long overdue. The White Sox clubhouse should have been cleansed months ago.
You might need a bunch of guys chanting in that clubhouse.
Robes on, chanting.
That's right.
Holding crystals, whatever it takes.
Everything.
Yeah, EJ.
Bowls.
I think you should go to Jerry Reinsdorf and make a trade. You should say, I will trade you my realtor who is an expert in vibes.
Yeah.
For your probably $1 million realtor who actually sells apartments and gets things done. Cause you need vibes and I need to sell this apartment. I think that's a win-win for everybody.
Man, I hope it doesn't take a billionaire's broker to sell our apartment. I mean, like, say we want about Reinsdorf. He's like probably one of the most successful people maybe in the history of this country. I hope I don't need that level of help.
He definitely needs your realtor because the vibes there stink.
Yeah, what do you do? I'm a little worried she is going to sacrifice some kind of live animal. That would be, I think that's a violation of the fine print of the co-op rules.
that's section E, paragraph
10. You shall not sacrifice any living creatures to cleanse the vibes of your apartment in order to sell it.
Here you go, one chicken.
Coming up, we check in with our pal Joe Varden, who's covering Team USA in Paris.